Let's pray. Father, we come before you now desiring to hear from you, to hear from your word. Lord, we confess that we hear a lot of voices during the week, a lot of voices from this world, from our lives that speak. Not all of them speak according to your will. Lord, would you quiet those voices now? Would you give us a discerning spirit to hear your word and to receive it in faith? Lord, give us insight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Have you ever thought it might be easier, especially in your Christian life, if you could see Jesus like the disciples saw Jesus? I mean, I'm just thinking of situations like, say, you're around a group of people or coworkers, and one of them does the same stupid thing again, and one of your friends makes a comment, and you're about to make another comment to kind of make fun of them too, and then you see Jesus over there kind of giving you a look. Maybe you wouldn't say that comment. Or maybe later this afternoon, you're watching your team in the Super Bowl, and the referee makes just a horrendous call that hurts your team, and you're about to stand up and tell the ref exactly what you think about him. But then you see Jesus forgiving the referee for his blindness and saying it's okay, and you think, well, okay, maybe I shouldn't say that. The disciples saw Jesus. They saw him teach like no one had ever taught before. They saw him heal with a touch. They saw him cast out a demon with a word. They saw him save a wedding when he turned water into wine. They saw him host a banquet with 5 loaves and 2 fish. They saw him jolt the Pharisees with truth and overwhelm sinners with grace. It's easy to think how much stronger my faith would be if I actually saw those things and saw Jesus do those things. But then we get to today's reading, Transfiguration Sunday, and Peter and James and John saw even more. Jesus invites just the three of them to join him for a mountaintop experience that they would never forget. Jesus transfigured. His glory is revealed. They see Moses and Elijah. I'm curious how they knew it was Moses and Elijah. Did their introductions made, or did they just know? We know Moses stood for the law, Elijah for the prophets, all the Old Testament. And so as Moses and Elijah fade away, we're taught that Jesus has a greater glory. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. He's the fulfillment of all the Old Testament. But we don't see what they saw. We certainly don't see what Peter, James, and John saw of Jesus in his glory. We might have brief experiences of God's presence, perhaps at the Lord's Supper, or while singing a favorite song, or even during a sermon. But Jesus promised to be with us, but he's hidden from sight. He's hidden behind the earthly veil of bread and wine, of a pastor's simple words of absolution, of the promise to be with where 2 or 3 of his children are gathered, however imperfect they are. He's promised to be there, but he's hidden. We don't see him, not like Peter, James, and John. It's easy to think how much stronger our faith would be if we could only see Jesus. Well, while we can't see him like the disciples saw him, we can listen to his words like the disciples listened to his words. It's interesting. In fact, that's just what the Father tells them to do and tells us to do. The Father speaks from the cloud and said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Now, after such a dramatic display as the Transfiguration, you might expect the Father to say, "This is my beloved Son. Look at him." But he didn't. Why? I think it's an important question for us in a culture that has moved from words to images to convey truth. In our culture, you're much more likely to watch a YouTube video than read the owner's manual. You're much more likely to watch the highlights of the game than to read the sports page. We're much more likely to surf social media than read an old book. We've been formed into a people who have an eye for that which is interesting and shocking and amazing and entertaining. So why, when God has this amazing, viral, worthy moment, he uses it not to point us to the video, but to the words, to Jesus' words? Why does the Father say, listen, rather than look, rather than see? I think we get a clue with Peter and his words. It says, Peter says, Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. And then Mark inserts, for he did not know what to say. You got to love Peter. In those moments he didn't know what to say, it never occurs to him he could just stand there like James and John and not say anything. He always has to say something. I know some of you can relate. Why does Peter in that moment suggest they erect some tents? I suspect it's Peter, as terrified as he is by all that's going on, wants to preserve the moment. He wants it to last, to endure. We understand that. We understand that desire for something wonderful and amazing to continue on. If you've been on the dream vacation and as the days count down and it comes to time to go back home, you have that desire. Oh, if only all of life could be this way, that would be amazing. Some of you have had those amazing mountaintop experiences with God. If you've been to a national youth gathering and you've stood with 20,000 other students and saying thy strong word, that's a powerful moment. Or perhaps you've gone to a conference of Bible teachers and every single speaker is amazing and insightful and motivating and compelling. And you think, why can't it be this way all the time? Or perhaps you took part in a college ministry in which the worship just made God feel so present. It was led by a band that you can hear on the radio. And they were just amazing. These mountaintop experiences can all be faith-strengthening moments. Unless you try to set up tents. Unless you try to make a campsite out of it. You see, these moments weren't meant to be normal. They weren't meant to last forever in this life. And there's a warning here because many have chased these mountaintop experiences right out of church. They want every Sunday to be this, give them the spiritual high that they experienced at the conference, at the camp, at the college ministry. And so they leave one church for another church for another church, trying to find that church that has figured out how to do it just right. But every time they become more disconnected from the daily life of the church, and they end up giving up on the church and blaming the church for not delivering what they desired. They'll say, I just don't get anything out of church. The mountaintop experience isn't intended to last forever, not in this life. It's intended to keep us moving, to send us back down into the valley. And what sustains us in the valley? Peter tells us, quoting Isaiah, he says, the word of the Lord endures forever. It's the word of the Lord that sustains us day by day down in the valley amidst the ordinariness of life. And so like Peter, James, and John, we listen to that word. We don't see Jesus as they saw Jesus, but we do listen to his word as they listen to his word. And so now, listen to his word. Listen to him. Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus says, I'll give you rest. Listen to him. Jesus says, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? But seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given to you. Listen to him. Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Yes, even that one. Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Listen to him. Jesus says, I go and prepare a place for you. I am the way and the truth and the life. Listen to him. Jesus says, I will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. Behold, I am making all things new. Listen to him. Listen to him. What's interesting is they headed down the mountain with Jesus. Jesus tells Peter, James, and John not to tell what they have just seen, at least not until after he has risen from the dead. They didn't fully understand what that meant, that Jesus would rise from the dead. But we do. And we can tell. We can tell. As Jesus and Peter, James, and John descended the mountain, if you keep reading in our gospel text, they encounter a scene that's really a microcosm of the world we live in today. The community leaders are arguing with the disciples. There's a distraught father, impotent to help his son is being abused by a demon. And overall, there's just a lack of faith, a lot like our world today. And it's into that world that Jesus sends us from the mountaintop to tell of the one who has risen from the dead, to tell of the one who still speaks today to a world that's quickly descending into division and conflict and chaos, to a world that's continually seeking the next amazing video, the next amazing post, the next viral meme, that's searching for something that will bring a sense of peace, will bring a moment of joy. It's into that world Jesus sends us. And he says, go and tell. Tell of the one who has risen from the dead. Tell the world to listen to the one who has risen from the dead and conquered death. That's the one to listen to, because it's his words alone that offer life. It's his words alone that forgive sins. It's his words alone that sustain us in this life of living in the valley. And when someone tells us, I just don't get anything out of church, we tell them. We tell them that's impossible, because Jesus is present. And you only need ears to see him, to see his promise to come to us in the bread and the wine, to come to us through the word that is preached and shared and sung and spoken. And Jesus' words will accomplish what they say. Don't harden your heart. Come and listen to his words. You may not see what he is doing in your life on this particular Sunday, but be assured, he is at work. He is at work shining his light into your heart to strengthen you in faith and bring you safely home to glory. You may have a few moments in life when you see, you have an experience of Jesus that's amazing. But I can assure you, you have everyday opportunities to listen to him and to tell. To tell a people who are struggling, to tell a people in chaos that the one that was transfigured has the power to transform your life. And so we tell. We listen and we tell. Let's pray that the Lord might strengthen us to do. Father, we give you thanks that it is your all-powerful word that calls us here, that forgives us, that fills us, that sends us out. Lord, fill our hearts with your words, for it's your words alone that give life. And fill our hearts to overflowing, that those words may tumble over our lips at the right time, in the right moment, that others may learn to see with their ears that you are present, that you are healing, that you are saving even today. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.